I forgive you on behalf of Slang Bin and his mother. The person who killed him really killed him. I'm not going to revenge against him. Forgiveness is the greatest gift or charity in Islam. I have to pour myself out to forgive someone that have wronged our family.
So what we're doing now is we've got some volunteers helping us to get these pews out.
With the hard work of Eddie, this is more than just a masjid that's being built. This is more than just another da'wah center.
So we transforming this from people worshiping the creation to worshiping the Creator.
Allah bless your efforts, Eddie.
There's a police officer now reacting to the Muslim forgiving.
I think it was something for every parent to see, and how fortunate these young men are to have such a role model and a father and a leader in a community that actually gives guidance and a path. And I think that's what we saw in this. We had two really good families that came together that did not know each other over some tragedy. We spoke yesterday when he came in from Thailand. We had lunch and we were thankful for one thing that such a horrific tragedy brought us so close as friends, of being with each other.
We have one God, his name's Allah, Allah. And his final messenger's Muhammad, peace be upon him. This is our religion, Islam, Islam. This is the Deen Show.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
And I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Deen Show, the Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. How you doing?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah.
So I'm here with Imam Musa Azim, Dr. Imam Musa Azim. So we got to see now, it's the blessed month of Ramadan. It's the month of mercy and forgiveness. And this is a story that hit a while back where father, he was now brought in front of a perpetrator, a person that ended up luring his son, along with some others, I believe, into an apartment. They robbed him, killed him. And now you can see now, he didn't technically have to forgive him, Islamically,
true,
right?
True.
But he went to a whole nother level.
He did.
So I wanted to contrast this with, and we can go ahead and talk, because on that topic of mercy and forgiveness, because a lot of times if we look at this and then we compare, because you're also a counselor, you're somebody who deals with many family issues and back and forths, how does this compare to some of the stories that you hear and you look back and you say, wow, you're really going to let Shaitan divide you guys like this and not forgive?
True.
Comparing to something like this at a whole nother level.
Indeed. Wallahi, subhanallah, nahmadu nusalli ala rasulil kareem, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي صلاة الله وسلام عليه هو رحمة للعالمين. And رسول عليه الصلاة والسلام is أسوة for us, as Allah سبحانه وتعالى says, لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة. And رسول عليه الصلاة والسلام was sent as a mercy to the universe, and he is the mercy. That mercy is our role model. And if we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last day, Allah says, and it's easy said than done.
Easier said than done, huh?
Indeed.
I can see you got a little bit watery-eyed, huh?
I do. I mean, that's where really it requires us to step up, come out of our comfort zone and our own personal interest, and be the true believer and the ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In that video clip, that in itself, that shows that any father, any parent would find justifiable to take the life of the person who murdered their own child. But what caused that person to forgive that individual? It's not his own personality or his cultural background or his values. Rather, he said that this is what Allah wants from me.
So this is the teaching of Islam, sponsored by Islam. It's indeed, because what he knows about Allah.
Allah, and he is clearly stating that, although I want to, I can take the revenge. But this is what Allah demands this from me. This is what my Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam demonstrated. And as a follower and a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah, I will do what is asked of me, no matter how difficult it is. And it is this moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the believers apply these teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, convert that very act an act of da'wah, an invitation to Islam. And that is the nobility of Islam. That is the true essence that you see of belief in Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and taking him as a role model. It's easy to follow Islam when it is convenient to you. Where you get tested is that when it goes totally against you, nothing really serves your interest, and you still put above your interest the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was a fine example.
Mm-hmm.
This was a fine example. And what other thing that I wanted to point out in that video was when he forgave and he met with the murderer of his son and gave him hug.
Mm-hmm.
That is humanity in real essence. Away from hate, any grudges, any influence of evil and devil, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with this nature of understanding and forgiving and putting our goal for success in the hereafter and ultimately pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So this is at a whole different level of a grand stage. Now people, non-Muslims, are getting to see Islam in action, like at a whole different level, because he's quoting the Quran. He's showing that this is like the mercy of Islam that he's portraying. And many of us are not going to reach that level here, but you can reach this level somewhat if now maybe you can forgive someone in your immediate family. Because we're seeing, like, from year to year, Ramadan to Ramadan, we got brother not speaking to brother, sister not speaking to sister, you got father and son, daughter and mother, aunt and all. You got all these different family units, and now they're not talking, and the one stubbornly refuses to, he's holding on to a grudge, holding on to the past, doesn't want to let it go. And now you're not being called to forgive the murder of your family.
You're not.
Right?
It's just forgiveness of the hard feelings or misunderstanding most mm-hmm. of the time. And trust me, Eddie, you know, this video is not of the ancient time. And we're not even talking about the time of the stories of the prophets.
Good point. Prophet Muhammad, this is not something from a long time ago.
It's not.
This is recent. Yeah.
People recent. Very easily and conveniently say that, oh, he was a prophet. Oh, those were companions. They had the blessings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's presence. They were able to do that. We live in this time and age. It's difficult. You don't know what my situation is. You don't know how hurt I am. You don't know how wrong I have been by these people. How could I ever forgive? I will never forgive them in a million years. These are the statements that I get in my counseling. People are saying this. I will never forgive. I will never forgive. This word, never forgive, is very common when it's come to disputes. And they even reference saying that in this time and age, they're doing this. This video is not from far. It is happening right here. And if that fellow can really rise above all of these challenges and temptations that you and I are going through and still find a way to obey Allah and Rasulullah and do what is right, only because he's been asked to do, whether it makes sense or not, that's what can become the hujjah against us in the day of judgment. It is people like these we should be afraid of. Because if they can do it, Allah may ask in the day of judgment, why can't you? If he was wrong so much so that his son was taken away from him, what was wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
What have you lost? Your feelings were hurt. Yes, I understand that. Even then, Islam is demanding for you to come out and forgive for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all in all, if you understand, let's not talk about religion. Let's not talk about being kind and nice person. Let me talk in that emotion aspect of it as a human being. I have asked many times when people hold grudges and difficult moments remember them so vividly, when you talk to them and they talk to you, they literally could see in their eyes, they're seeing that is happening in front of them. And without any control, their tears begin to flow from their eyes. That tells you how hurt they are. There is no denying. As a counselor, I sit over there, I pass them the tissue box, clearly, you know, and let them wipe their tears without even them realizing. They are in a totally different mode. You could see that they're sitting in front of you, they're not present, because they are present in the moment when they had that heated argument or the hurt that they suffer and that cause that pain, suffering that they feel, they're feeling at that very moment. I let them have this episode. And when they calm down a little bit, then I ask them, how long ago has it happened? And they tell me, years passed.
Years?
Years has passed. And I say, where that individual that had caused you this pain? And they just smile. They say, they're just living their life happily. I say, what are you doing to yourself?
You're actually harming yourself more.
They harm you once, and you're harming yourself again and again, again and again, again and again, when each time you remember that moment, you're doing zulm on yourself.
Mm.
And that is a transgression against your own self. And the first and foremost, the person who benefits from forgiveness is your own self. You liberate yourself from that hate and pain and suffering. So Allah intend that ease for you. Allah does not intend difficulty for you when He asks you to forgive. Forgive for the sake of Allah. Allah says, you know, Allah does not benefit you with your forgiveness to the other human beings. But Allah is saying, forgive for my sake. It is the kindness and the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that, all right, unload all of your pain and suffering onto me. I'll take care of it. I want you to live your life peacefully as long as I have decree for you to walk on this earth. So my beloved, as a believer, it is to your good advantage that you forgive for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah loves you so much that He wants to liberate you from that pain and suffering and you can live. And no sooner that I guide people to forgive each other, and when they embrace and accept in the light of Quran and Sunnah, before even they move from their chairs, I ask them, how do you feel? You know, most of the time the response is, I feel very light. They were carrying this burden like a Rocky Mountain, Himalaya Mountain burden on their heart. And that is why they were very teary. No sooner that they hear or remember of something like this, their tears flow from their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But this is no longer the case.
So the person right away is benefiting themselves.
Instantly. Yeah. As a human being, you benefit. But if you do the same act for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your benefit is manifold. One, you liberate yourself from this pain and suffering and then weight that you carries all your life and weigh heavy on your emotion and your decision making. It literally influences and affects your lifestyle.
On the contrary, doesn't it in a negative way not only influence you, but let's say we're particularly talking about like family now, like we have the family of the Ummah, but now you have family, blood family, okay? And now you have people who are within their family, they're not setting a good example. Now you have kids coming along. Have you seen like generations? Now the kids kind of inherit this, meaning that now they end up holding a grudge because their maybe father held a grudge or the sister held a grudge. And then they start creating a resentment between a certain family or because a certain family didn't let it go.
True. Let me continue on the point that, and then I will answer that question. First, as a human being, you'll benefit by letting go of these grudges. And if you do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a believer, your reward multiplies. You enjoy the benefit as a human being for letting go of the grudges. And you also enjoy the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you did so khalisatan li wajhillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a win-win situation as a believer. So while others are doing it for their own reasons, you ought to do as a believer because your Rabb has demanded this from you. So with that great incentive, Muslims should be the first and foremost to forgive anyone for any crime, any sin, or any hurt, any pain that they have caused. Second, and if you don't do this, if you do this, you're winning in your life and the hereafter also. But if you refuse to do this, in spite of having great incentive given to you, the consequences are severe. Cutting the ties. Now you're talking about the humanity. We were talking about killing somebody, random person, causing any hurt and pain to you. Talk about this is happening from your own family member, immediate family members, be it is your spouse, be it is your in-laws, be it is your relatives, be it is your children, sometimes even parents. And some I have seen aging parents having this kind of pain and suffering from their children. In all, this is the play of shaitan. Shaitan tried to create this kind of environment so they cannot be at the peace when they're worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have got to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seeking refuge from this situation. But the consequences of not doing it are the following. One, when the two individuals have this situation, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam emphasize on this saying that if you have differences with a fellow Muslim, you have to reconcile within 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
If not, then you will find your place in the hellfire. It's a strong statement. This will affect only those individuals who truly believe in heaven and hell, truly appreciate what really happens in hellfire, and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And only then, and then only, they'll be able to understand and compare between holding this position of their hatred towards each other or letting go for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the fear of being put into the hellfire. That is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to convey. His mercy for the universe. He loves us very much and he does not want us to enter into the hellfire. So he's pointing out to that thing. He's saying that if you don't, that is your abode. So I ask you to forgive for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you don't do this, and look, the picture that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had in front of him, just picture Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam talking to the sahaba, advising them on kinship and the family values and relationship, and knowing the challenges that they're going through, even then encouraging them to forgive. Why? In Islam, family structure is one of the greatest foundation that Islam is built on. And these kind of differences causes family to fall apart. And when that happens, the Islam is compromised in the practice of individual's life.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it is very important. The grudges when the parents, individuals hold against each other from the relatives get transmitted into the family members. Kids, you talk about very beautifully. Who suffer? Kids suffer silently. They don't even know at times reason why the adults have fought. They even question, if my mom or dad has problem with each other or with in-laws, with aunt or uncles or with that cousin of mine, why should I be prohibited from meeting and talking to their children? How should I behave when they come across? How should I be able to give them salam or not? These are the questions that I get asked as an imam in the masjid. People are asking. We come to pray, we are cousins in the same masjid. But we can't say salam to each other because our parents are not in good terms with each other. Who's responsible for this?
So now that's something you're passing down. Instead of passing down these good teachings of forgiveness, of things that are pleasing to Allah, it reminds me of the hadith where the Prophet had talked about, if you expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, for Allah to mercy, then you need to go ahead and, I mean, because you got a lot to account for also, right?
Yes.
And you don't want to be held up on the day of judgment, pulled over to the side and questioned about all of the sins.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, anyone who don't show mercy to mankind, don't expect that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
And you want Allah to forgive his creation. What a beautiful teachings.
Yeah.
What a beautiful teachings, Eddie.
How do you know if you've truly forgiven?
I just recorded a video clip for one of the TV channel where they asked me the same question.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know? I said, this is the blessed month of Ramadan. Each Ramadan set a goal. Each fasting day set a goal. Look into individuals who you don't like and have been the source of your pain and suffering. Identify those individuals with their name. Create a list if you must. And pray for them first. Mm-hmm. Without even talking to them. Pray for them.
Make dua for them.
Make dua for them. Forgive them and make dua for them. Because forgiving is easy. But making dua for that individual, it's a challenge to your belief. And that's where you can rise above if you truly want to forgive somebody. And if you can go a step further, then I encourage you to send that individual a gift. Let that individual know on a simple message. You may agree or not, whether you approve of this or not, whether you like it or not. I just want you to know from my side, I have forgiven you for the pain and suffering that you had caused me. And I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah keep you on the right path and me. And I ask you to forgive me. These are the steps that need to be taken. And once again, as I said, it's easy said than done. But if you have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you take Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as your role model, you find it very easy. And know all of this evil and mischief is caused by shaitan, and attribute all of this thing to shaitan, not to that individual who are under the influence of shaitan for time being. So you have to really forgive.
This is a really, really powerful hadith. This one, if you can go ahead and elaborate on this, that the Prophet ﷺ had talked about people's deeds being presented in before Allah Friday, on Mondays and Thursdays. And then every slave of Allah is granted forgiveness. And if the person didn't associate anything with Allah in worship, but the person in whose heart there is rancor against his brother will not be pardoned. With regard to them, it will be said, hold on to these two until they reconcile.
Allah.
So I would paint a scenario like this is like your deeds are being presented and now they're being rejected because you have this rancor. Yes. And this goes back to what I'm saying. Okay, maybe you say, oh, I forgive him, but you're still holding this grudge, not letting go of things from the past. How?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is in your heart. You can never hide anything from Allah. If this resonates with you, then you will appreciate this hadith. And look, I always encourage people and our viewers here, it's easy to listen to the Quran and hadith as a statement. But I would like for you to, anytime from this point onwards, when you hear any references from the Quran or hadith, try to picture Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam having this communication with Sahaba. Very loving and caring individual who want the best for us in this life and the year after. Saying this hadith, said that every Monday and Thursday, your deeds are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Picture the Sahaba sitting over there, how excited they are. And look in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has observed fast on Fridays and Mondays and Thursdays. And he said that the day that my deeds are being presented, I'd like to be in the state of fast. That is how much, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam observed these things very closely. And he wanted to be in the state of fast when his name and his deeds are being mentioned before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the level of belief of being this record on submitted before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how he is literally practicing this caution. And he, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is saying that your deeds are also being presented to Allah, every one of you. And we are all very excited to have this been presented. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, accept. And that should be enough to sink our hearts. It's just like that, a great big gift is going to be given to everybody in this hall. All of you, and it's showing on the big screen, you're going to have this prize, you're going to have this prize, you're going to have this prize. And you're visualizing, you're dreaming, you're going to enjoy all of these things. And all of a sudden saying, accept. And everybody in the hall holding their breath, and they want to know what follows thereafter. And usually when Rasul Ali Salatu Wasalam talks like this, it's a very, very important message that he wants to give. And look, he sums it down to two things. One obviously have to do with our belief. Second, first one, belief, we don't compromise. Every one of us, we will die, but we will not give up on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or commit shirk. But every one of us may likely fall for it. That is to hold grudges against each other. And it is very common among us. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that your deeds will be held until such time that you cleanse your heart from the hatred towards each other.
So even, is this talking about Ramadan? We're in Ramadan right now. So all, you're talking about all this fasting, can all go to waste?
Every single thing Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam, see, remember the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is giving the importance to this relationship, mending relationship, to the degree that even your fasting, your charity has been specifically mentioned here. Why? Because we hold our fasting very near and dear. We hold our charity very near and dear. We want to do whatever we can to guard this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, you don't get to pick and choose which deeds are more important to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which deed is more important to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You may give more value to your fasting and charity, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, the more important than charity and fasting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your relationship.
There's a hadith, yeah, paraphrasing this hadith now. This is an authentic hadith where the Prophet ﷺ asked, do you know what is better, far better than charity, praying, and fasting? They said, what, O Messenger of Allah? He said, bringing those ties of kinship together. Should I inform you of something more excellent in degree than fasting, prayer, and giving in charity? The Prophet said, they said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. He said, it is putting things right between people.
That is the greatest virtue.
So do you think now for extended family members, do you think a lot of times we live in a culture now everyone's like, you know, to each his own, mind your own business. So as we conclude and come to an end where this can motivate others to get involved, right, from other members
it
of the family.
Yes, it is. To see, try to mind reconcile. Your own business is the culture in America.
Mm-hmm.
Individualism, where in Islam it's a universal. You are required. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ It is the amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. No individual as a believer can say that stay out of this. No individual as a believer say that mind your own business. It is the business of each and every single Muslim to make sure, first and foremost, they don't hold grudges. Second, if they find somebody holding grudges, do whatever you can through peaceful means within your limits to make sure that you reconcile between the two individuals who are having issues. And Eddie, trust me, this mind your own business has caused Muslim Americans so much that families are falling apart. If only Muslims have exercised this particular hadith of reconciliation between the brothers and spouses and family members and friends, our situation would have been a lot better than it is today. Our children would have been at much more in a healthy environment than they are today. They are confused. They're literally confused, don't know what to do. And their situation like this are forcing them to go and find relationship elsewhere, where they're supposed to be part of family structure of Islamic beautiful families. Who is doing this? Individuals who are holding grudges, individuals who are not reconciling, individuals in spite of being in a position to reconcile between the two individuals and not doing the justice towards this, causing the break and falling down of the Muslim families here in America. So I encourage, first and foremost, in the blessed month of Ramadan, that please make this niyyah. In this Ramadan, you will rise above your own egos, your own position, and forgive for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second, those who are in a position, in authority, to reconcile between the two, do not put off this noble work any longer and reconcile between the individuals. No sooner that you come to know of two individuals having any problem. And the better, sooner the better it is. The longer it waits, the difficult it is to overcome these challenges. So I urge every one of you out there to forgive each other, reconcile your differences immediately for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if it is difficult for you to continue to visit and meet with this person, you may distance for a while until you really rise to the level of really being with that person in the same room. But do not put off the process of forgiveness any longer. Forgive each other immediately as soon as possible.
This is very deep. It's a blessed month of Ramadan.
It is.
It's the month of the Quran. And this is what Allah talks about, you know, in the Quran over and over again. And He sent the Prophet of Mercy. So if we want mercy from Allah, if we want Allah to forgive our sins, we have to be more forgiving.
It is. Surah Al-Hujurat, Surah 49, strongly recommended in this regard to read. Mm-hmm. With the interest of time, I cannot go over, but I recommend all of our viewers to read Surah Al-Hujurat in detail, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about the kinship and reconciliation between brothers and sisters in Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you are ikhwa. The word ikhwa is used, innamal mu'minuna ikhwa, is the one who has been born from the same womb. That is the close relationship get established when the believer says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. So Eddie, I pray with your efforts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring humanity closer to Islam and bring Ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the point where they can obey Allah and Rasulullah khalisatan li wajhillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala and reconcile their issues and live their life to the fullest and become the role model for others to follow. And first and foremost, as I said, you as an individual will benefit if you are to do this, and your innocent kids will no longer have to suffer. Mm-hmm. And you will keep the family together. Especially we have come from all over the world to America, leaving our own relatives far and behind over there. We are creating our own Muslim communities, and we have to really be the role model for others to follow Islam. And this can be done with the intention of da'wah, just like in that video clip that you showed. It was a great source of da'wah for the humanity.
Jazakallah. Thank you very much for going over these things. And thank you guys for tuning in. This is a very, very important subject, very important topic. And inshallah, this can be a source of motivation for us to pick up that phone, to call that loved one, to go ahead and express that mercy, that forgiveness that God Almighty Allah joined upon us, so then we can get that forgiveness from the Almighty Creator, God Almighty Allah. Go ahead and hit that notification bell not to miss another show when it comes out. And we'll see you next time here on The Deen Show. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Our brother in Islam, Eddie from The Deen Show, is creating the Deen Center, which is a masjid and a dawah center, which is going to help non-Muslims learn about Islam, inshallah. And the most beautiful thing about this is that we can all be a part of this. We can all take part in earning rewards from this simply by donating whatever we can to make this a reality, which is beautiful. Let's do that, all right? Let's click this link. Let's donate what we can, and let's make this a reality, inshallah.
I cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about, and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeenshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.